Welcome to the What's Happening Compeer Financial podcast series. Listen how Compeer is committed to serving agriculture and rural America.
This month, we're looking at what's happening with emerging markets. Our guest for this episode is Paul Dittman, Compeer Financial Diversified Markets Senior Lending Specialist. Paul, let's begin with sort of your definition of emerging markets.
Emerging markets farmers are farmers who are marketing the products directly to consumers or who are engaged in some sort of value-added production, processing, or marketing.
When you describe it that way, I immediately think about the pandemic because there was a lot more attention on those markets with the pandemic and its impact. So as we journey down this path, let's look back to 2020, the impact of COVID-19, and now as we chart a course forward, you know, what not only this past year means, but certainly there are other factors probably that existed before the pandemic and maybe new factors that you have an eye on that are all going to come into play.
Yeah, that's 2020 was a really strange year for our emerging markets farmers, like it was for pretty much everybody in society. In mid-March when COVID first hit, a lot of our farmers reported that their sales came to a crashing halt. You know, some of them were selling to restaurants or directly to grocery stores, and the chains just kind of got broken there. But most of them pivoted pretty quickly and started finding other ways to market their products. They were banding together and selling like through box deliveries, curbside delivery type of thing. We saw a big increase. A lot of our farmers reported that they saw increases of 50 to 100% or more in volume over the last year. And for a couple of reasons. Number one, just people staying home due to COVID weren't eating out. You know, they had a lot more time on their hands. They were able to prepare fresh meals using good quality local ingredients sourced directly from farmers. Number two, they were finding that there were shortages of meat and other staple products in the grocery stores. I've got a couple of people in my portfolio who produce grain and then mill that grain into flour. And flour was hard to come by in the stores. You know, a lot of people were baking, and so they ran the stores out of flour. So pretty much across the board, all of our farmers who were marketing products direct to consumers saw a big uptick in demand for what they had to sell. Consumers were finding very high prices for some things in the stores, staples like eggs. You know, eggs in the grocery store were over $3 a dozen last spring and summer. And so a lot of our local growers were selling eggs for $3 a dozen, and consumers discovered that they could get those kinds of products close to home at decent prices and really good quality.
We don't have to spend a lot of time on this because we want to definitely talk about the here and now. But prior to COVID, Paul, were we already starting to see the momentum build for this buy local? And I think about what I've kind of read and heard about Gen Z and what's important to them from a food and nutrition standpoint. Was the ball already kind of rolling here before COVID?
Yeah, I would say it really was. You know, we've seen a number of new people come into farming, and they're those Gen Z type of producers. They maybe didn't grow up on a farm, just got interested in producing food. They want to do something meaningful with their lives, and producing good food is something that they find fits their values. And then on the other side of it is a group of Generation Z consumers who are looking for those sorts of products, and they don't really like buying from corporate America, and they don't want to buy from, you know, really big grocery outlets and things like that. They're looking for higher quality, close to home, close connection. They value community. They value cooperation and that sort of thing. So it was a trend that was growing before COVID and then just sort of exploded with COVID.
And because of that explosion, there's opportunity to be had, but certainly some hurdles and some obstacles too. What, in your opinion, are some of those major obstacles?
You know, the biggest obstacle that we ran into the last year, and it's continuing now, is just a lack of meat processing capacity. You know, we've got a lot of small meat processing plants in the upper Midwest, but they're all full. A lot of them are booking out a year, 2 years in advance. And so you've got this whole cohort of consumers that are really looking for that locally produced, locally processed meat. You've got people who want to sell it, and then there's this bottleneck in between where they just can't get it processed. So that I would say is probably the biggest hurdle. Another hurdle, you know, the demand increase that we saw last year, I'm not sure it's all going to stick around. I think some of it will, but people are starting to go back to work. Some people are going to be working from home permanently or a couple days a week. So, you know, so some of the, you know, the time factor, being around home, being able to cook a good meal using good products, some of that's going to continue, but it's not all going to continue.
Tune into our next episode to learn about how Compeer Financial can come alongside producers who are exploring or actively engaged in emerging markets.
Compeer Financial, committed to serving agriculture and rural America. Learn more at compeer.com.